So last week we started Perek Tes, and just a quick recap of what's going on, what's been happening in Perek Tes, and throughout the Sefer we started building up two sides of the soul. There's the Nefesh Elokis, and then there's the Nefesh of the Bahamas. And we explained those at length and the different ways that they work. And last week we spoke about where they reside inside of the guf. Each one of them has their own specific makom. The neshama, the nefesh of the kis, the godly, pure side of the soul, its place where it rests is in the mind, is in the maya. Masha'in kain, the nefesh ha-bahamis, where is its place in the body? Its place in the body is in the left side of the heart. And the right side of the heart is also where the Nefesh HaLakis resides. So the Nefesh HaLakis really starts in the Moach and goes into the right side of the heart. Masha'inkein, the Nefesh HaBahamas, the Yetzirah, stands in the left side of the heart. That's its place in the body. We spoke about the idea of his Bainan Ishpinimi, and we have examples of that, and we built up the whole Sugya. Now we're going to speak about the war, the battle between the two of them. We're going to speak about the war that exists between the Nefesh HaLakis and the Nefesh HaBahamas. So over here in Perek Tes, it's on, and the regular ones, not the one you have Yehuda, is Yehuda. It's the bottom of Yud Gimel Beis, the last three words, Achine. You see that? The words Achine. Anyone sees it? The last three words are there, yeah? So no Tanya's? Everybody machemesh. Get close. Share. Ach, hineksiv le'um melon yamatz. This pasuk is by Yaakov and Esav. Next week's Parsha, Balina Teva, Parsha told us. It says, le'um melon yamatz, is talking about Yaakov and Esav when they're born, that when Rashi says, k'shezek comes, zeh noifel. When this one rises, this one falls. One rises, one falls. When Yaakov rises, Esav falls. And when Esav rises, Yaakov falls. So that's true in terms of Yaakov and Esav as in a physical sense. But now we're going to talk about it in a pneumistic sense, as so too it is in Avodas Hashem. When the Nefesh HaLakis rises, the Nefesh HaBahamas falls. So too the opposite. When the Nefesh HaBahamas rises, the Nefesh HaLakis falls. Ki aguf nikra ir ketana. The guf is called the small city. Just like there is two kings, two malachim, that they're trying to fight over one city. Each one of them, they want to fight, they want to conquer this city. Why do they want to conquer this city? Because what happens when the king is in charge of this place? Then the king gets to decide what the rules are. Right? And everybody has to listen to his rules. So each one of them, it's each king, is fighting over this small city. Why? Because each one of them wants that this city should do its ratzon. Because now this melech is in charge, so they're each fighting over this city. So too it is. The Nefesh HaLakis and the Nefesh HaBahamas, these are the two kings. These are the two melechim over here. Each one of them are fighting over the body. Each one of them are fighting over the guf to be in control. Meaning, the Yetzirah and the Nefesh HaLakis, they each have their own kochos. They each have their own world. They each have their own melech. They each are their own melech. And each one of them want to come over to the small city, which is called the guf, that the guf should act the way that they want to. Now, there's only one mind. There's only one brain. Right? There's only one physical mayach. There's only one physical heart. There's only, you know, my hands, there's only one body here. So when one takes over, the other one's out. And when the other one takes over, the other one's out. So when the Nefesh HaLakis takes over the body, so who's out? The Nefesh HaBahamas. The Nefesh HaBahamas takes over the body, who's out? The Nefesh HaLakis. That's the pneumistic pshat of Ule'um Milom Yamat. This is the pneumistic pshat of what is the machloikis, the fight, the war between Yaakov and Esav. When one rules, the other one falls. Yaakov is the Nefesh HaLakis. He's the neshama, he's a toiv. He wants to rule over the body. And when he rules over the body, zenoitha, meaning the nefesh, the Esav, the nefesh of Bahamas, falls. And so too, the opposite. And each one of them on a rule. So Kis Chatzav V'Ritzayna. The nefesh of a kiss, its desire, its rutzen, and I'm going to try to speak about this line later, its rutzen is to rule over the body, like to guide it the way that it wants. Each one of these words you can bamash be vadaik, we're not going to, but each one of them are saying something different. But Klavius, each, when it rules over the body, then the body is completely butl to the nefesh of a kiss. Now, what happens is, and we spoke about this at length also, and maybe next year or the next one after, we're going to bring this whole in at length, that each one of them, the Nefesh of the Kis and the Nefesh of Bahamas, each have Yud Kochos, which are like the 10 spheres, and 3 Levushim, Machshava, Dibur, Maisa. So each one of them will have, want to put their Kochos and their Levushim inside of this guf, that you know, it should think the thoughts the way that it should speak the way that you should act the way that you should, v'chulu. So that's what he's saying over here. Levush la'esav b'chinasav v'gimelu v'shaha now. That it should be that the levushim and the kochos of the nefesh of the kiss, she slaps a kulam ivri aguf, that they should be the one which are mislabish inside of the body. V'yaguf kulam malim mehem levado, that the guf should be full of the nefesh of the kiss. V'lo ya'avar zar b'tog mechaz b'shalom. There shouldn't be any nefesh of Bahamas, no other melech inside of his body. Clear so far? Any questions so far? Good? Solid. Now we're going to come to speak about what does it look like a body that has a nefesh of the kiss who's in charge? And we're going to speak about how, you know, there's a koyach of being mizboinim, we spoke about last week a little bit. And then the effect that it has on the heart afterwards. And we said that there's two parts to the heart. It's a little hagdama. There's two parts to the heart. There's the left side of the heart and the right side of the heart. The heart is the Yetzer Tov. And the left side of the heart is the Yetzer Hara. Now, when a person thinks and he's misboining and contemplates the greatness of God and everything like that, so what happens is his heart, which is connected to his nefesh of a kiss, starts to get full. Starts to get on fire a little bit. Starts to wake up a little bit. Starts to get full of passion. And it gets more passion, and more passion, and more passion, and more passion. This passion is going to be called an ava, called ava rishpei esh, an ava of fire. It means that you feel far, and you have a desire, you have a longing toward Hashem. And slowly, as your heart starts to fill up and you feel more and more and more of a longing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happens is that part of the heart gets full and it starts to creep over to the other side of the heart, the left side of the heart, the Yitzhahara side of the heart. And slowly that starts to fill up, and when that starts to fill up more and more, then not only do you have a long desire, but your Ava changes now to something called the Ava Rabba, which is called the Ava B'Tanug. You start to feel Tainug in Hashem. You start to feel a tainug in Hashem. So these two things are also called iskafia bishafka. To me, iskafia means you're koyfif on it. You force it. Like you have to force yourself not to have that taiva. Meaning, let's say you have a taiva to eat something which is a good juicy piece of steak, and you know you shouldn't eat that juicy piece of steak right now because you already had dinner. So you know it's just complete taiva. So a person has to be koyfif himself. He has to push himself and say, no, I'm not going to eat the steak. He still has a taiva for steak, but he's pushing himself, no, I'm not going to eat that steak. That comes from the longing you have towards Hashem. When you have a longing towards Hashem, you have an avar rishpei esh. That allows you now to be koyfif, that you shouldn't want to eat that steak. But then, when you start to turn over your heart, and your heart starts to love Hashem in a deeper way, so your heart now becomes a heart that it's tainug, its desire is elokus itself. Meaning you no longer desire the steak. Why don't you desire the steak anymore? Because there's no room in my heart for the desire of that steak. Because all I have is the desire for Hashem. Meaning my tainug in life, my real tainug in life is Hashem himself. So mamila, I don't have a tainug for a steak anymore. It's not part of my repertoire. Is that the right word? It's not part of my being. It's not part of my system to have a tithe for a steak anymore. That's what happens when the heart starts to turn over, when the left side of the heart starts to turn over. The desire is no longer for the steak. Its desire is purely for the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the Hagdama. Is that clear? Questions? Clark.
I have questions. How's it going?
Okay, well, we're going to... That's like this whole thing. Yeah? Fine. The Hainu. Talas Moichin Shibarosh. When you have the three parts of the mind, you have three parts of the brain, there's three hollow parts of the brain. I don't know if they're actually three of them hollow. There's two parts, there's three parts of the brain. And that's where the kochos of the nefesh, yumiluim mechabad shem nefesh of the kiss, where the chabad of the nefesh of the kiss resides. Shechok mos Hashem, we spoke about these at length at once upon a time. Shechok mos Hashem, which your mind becomes full with chok mos Hashem, ubinozoi, and with bina, these boinim gedozoi, you start to think about, you start to contemplate the greatness of Hashem. Asher ad ein cheker ve ein soif. That is never ending His greatness. His greatness is ein soif. And when you start thinking about that more and you really meditate on it and you really contemplate it and it really starts to hit home by you. Then slowly but surely it starts to go into your heart this contemplation that you've been having. And you start to have a fear for Hashem. And then afterwards, va'avas Hashem ke'esh bo'ara b'liba k'rish b'shal heves. Then your heart starts to have this first type of ahava, which is the ahava called the rish b'esh type of ahava. Because nitzlof of gam kalsa nafshu b'chashecha, these words are just beautiful, b'chashecha b'chafeitza l'davka bo b'intzal baruch hu. That you start to have a desire, a tshuka, a longing to want to connect to the Ribbono shel Olam. B'chol lev v'nefesh ma'oid ma'umka d'liba. From the depths of your heart, you start to have the longing and desire to want to connect to Hashem. That the right side of the heart, rotzuf ava, in really means it's like it's tiled. It was talking about like in the Beis Mikdash by the Aron, I believe, the pasuk, and it's like tiled the inside when it's full of tiles. But what here it means is that it starts to get full of ava, malav gadosh, until it gets all the way to the top, to the rim. Now what happens is that that love starts to creep into the other side of the heart. It goes into unfamiliar territory, which is the horror side of the heart. Then what happens is that you start to subdue the Yitzhara. You start to subdue your Yitzhara for that steak. You say, I'm not going to eat that steak, because now you have a longing towards Hashem. I'm not going to eat that steak. I'm not going to do that Avera. Which is the Yisoda Maima Roim Shabashi Yitzhara Shemakipas Noiga. The Yisod of Mayim, we said this a few times in the Sefer, look at Perek Aleph again, that Ava, since through Ava grows all different types of Tanugim, all plants, things like that, Ava is the root of Tainug, in terms of Bein when it comes to Kedusha, Bein when it comes to Mehepek of Kedusha. So Yisod of Mayim, which is connected to our Yetzer Hara, which desires things which are foreign to us, like a steak and things like that, which is not supposed to be eaten at that time, so then you push it away because now you have a longing towards the Ribbono shel Olam. The shnois of lahavcha matakuner lemazeh, and now you start to turn over your heart. Now the other side of the heart starts to turn over, and now it starts to have different desires. La'avas Hashem, and now your heart starts to turn over. What is your love? What is your longing? What is your desire? It's not the stake anymore. It starts to be turned over. My pure desire now is you, Ribbono shel Olam. Is the lekus? Is the vekus? B'chol levavcha, like the pasuk says in Chazal Darshan, b'chol levavcha, with all your heart. What does it mean, all your heart? B'shnei Yitzurecha. With both the Yitzharas, the Maran Bracha said. Now the side of your heart, which is shy to what the Yitzharah also starts to desire. You suddenly have to come to this next level of Ava. V'chiba Yisir Majagas Ava Aza Kirish Be'esh, which is now a much higher level of Ava. V'hiya Nikris, because of Ava B'tanugim. This is called an Ava B'tanugim. Then now you start to have a desire. Like for example, let's say a person, he wants to see his father. And he can't see his father, because his father is far away. So what does he feel? He feels a timon, a thirst to get to his father. That timon, that thirst is called an ava rish be'esh. But what does that mean? What is the relationship? It's distant right now. Because my father is in Mexico and I'm over here. So I feel distant from my father. But I have a longing towards it because of my richuk, because of my distance that I have between me and him. Ava Tanugim, though, is when you feel, when you're there, you're with your father, but you're with each other, and there's just this Ava and this Tanugim being amongst each other, hopefully. And that's the relationship that you have with your father. The relationship of being with each other, amongst each other. It's a whole different type of relationship. It's no longer a longing, because you feel far, but it's the enjoyment of being around each other. So too, when a person starts to feel and bring Hashem into his life, and he starts to have a devekus with the Ribbono shel Olam, So now his heart starts to be, I don't have a longing towards you because you're far, but because now you're a part of my sister, Rav Hashem. We have the vikas where karuchula, I'm with my father right now. It's a completely different type of love, a completely different type of experience. Because of you start to feel a desire, a tainug. This is your tainug. I don't know how to, tainug is such a geshmak word, I don't know how to really translate it. So feel a tainug in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Oh, so now we're going to come to a little bit of a different thing, that when it comes to a tainug in by the nefesh, so that tainug is, I'm not going to explain this at length, but that tainug is not in the heart, but it's mainly in the mind. It mainly comes from the hasaga, the havana that you have of godliness. How much alakus you understand? How much alakus you bring in? That's how much time you're going to have. This is the ava of the nefesh. This is the mayim of the nefesh of the kiss. The desire of the nefesh of the kiss. That you turn over now, that now you don't have the desire for that steak anymore. What's your desire? It's purely, purely for elikus. From here comes all of the taiva that you have for this world. That was the nefesh of Bahamas. When you start turning over that ava, and that ava becomes an ava betanugim, and your heart's desire is just purely elikus. So mela, now you don't have any more taiva towards the physical. Clear so far? Any questions? Kmo shekaza be'etz chayim sharnun per gimel b'shem azoyar shaharan ahabek l'toyb gomor. Kmo yetzer toyb mamash, the ra part of your heart, now mamash completely flips over and now it's purely like yetzer toyb. Your heart becomes like yetzer toyb. Even the side of the yetzer hara. Your yetzer hara becomes like a yetzer toyb. B'hatzah begodam atzoy mimenu. You remove like the filthy garments that are on it, Shem Tanugin Olam Hazeh, which is the desires for this world, Shem Malubish Behem, that it itself goes towards, Chein Shar Kol Midash Shebelev Shem Anafi Ayir Ba'Ava, all your different parts of your heart. Like when a person has a Yira and they have a Ava, what is his Yira and what is his Ava? You La Hashem Lavadai, they're purely for Hashem. The Kol Koyach Hadibur Shebepev Machshabah Shebemoyach, and his whole entire way of speaking and his whole way of thinking. It's purely in control. Who's in control of the irkatana? Who's in control of the goof right now? That's the nefesh of the kiss. The nefesh of the kiss is in control. So what are you living in? You're living purely in a world of avodas Hashem. You're thinking and learning all day. You're thinking about growing all day. You're talking about learning all day. You're talking about growing all day. That's what happens when you start getting more and more of ava purely for the Ribbono Shel Olam. The whole entire day now, all you could think about, all you could talk about is the Kodesh Baruch Hu and his Torah. Everything you're doing, every maisa is purely with the kavana of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The third levush is the maisa. That's what a world looks like when a person has his nefesh al-kis completely in control. Okay, we obviously know this is a big madrega. And as we go through the next prakim, you know who really has such a madrigas. But that's what a body, when that body is ruled over the right melech. When the ir katana is ruled over by the right melech, that's how the body is supposed to look. That's how the person is supposed to look. Contemplating the greatness of Hashem. A heart which is longing, and then slowly, slowly, all its pure desires is only elokus. Speaks about Torah all day. He thinks about Torah all day. His midos are just ava and yira the whole day for Hashem levado. That's the way that a ir katana should look. That's the way that a guf should look. Shmak, everybody's ready for that? We should get there. Ach nefesh Bahamas shemeklipah shrotzoyin lahepich mamish. But the nefesh Bahamas, when it's in control of the ir katana, so we don't spend so much time on that, talking about it, what it looks like, because we don't want to look like that. So he only gives you one line. But when it is in control, then it's exactly the opposite of that. That's all you have to know. The toivas ha'adam, but you should know that the nefesh ha'bahamis is there, and the struggle you have for it is the toivas ha'adam. Shezgabar alavi, yitzachena, k'mashal ha'zoyna, the Zohar brings a mashal about ha'zoyna. The melech wants to prove the greatness of his son. So the melech, the Zohar says, sets up like an acting prostitute to try to entice the son, to show the commitment of the son. So too, that's the whole idea of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is just there to show how loyal we really are. But it's really just hired by the king to do his job. But it's not Be'emesh trying to go against and rebel against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's really listening, like this Zayna is listening to the Melech to do what the Melech tells us to do, to entice the sun. So too, the Yetzer Hara is the same exact way. Akopanim, that's what happens when the Nefesh of Kis is in charge of his ear katana. So to sum up Perek Tes, we said that there's the Nefesh of Bahamas, Nefesh of Kis, they each have their own makom, and the Nefesh of Kis has to come, and the Nefesh of Bahamas wants to, but the Nefesh of Kis' desire is to take over the ear katana. When it takes over the ear katana, then we see that it's a very high life, it's a life of Torah, of Avodah, of Dveikus of Moshe, an Ava, which is in the right place. Now I want to just hone in. I hope I get through it. I might have to cut it short. We'll see. Well, then you could have Marv somewhere else. So I want to hone in on the Nekuda over here. First of all, before we go into this, if there's any questions on the actual text itself? Questions? Clar? We said over here that the Nefesh Helokis, Nefesh Bahamas, they're both fighting over the ear katana, the guf. And he said such a lesson, this is the ritzina of the Nefesh Helokis. Its ratzon is, sh'tihilevada mashal salam, that its chetzah, the ritzina of the Nefesh Helokis, is to rule over the body. So there's many answers to this question, and I'd like to give my own approach maybe, but why does it care so much? Why does it care? Why does Nefesh Helokis, why is it so badly, why is it its ratzon so badly to rule over this guf? What does it get from the guf? Right? Why does it care so much about the guf? So the Nefesh HaKis is completely already double to Rabbanu Shalom. It's already, its desires already, it's very pure, it's a very pure being. What's so chashav about the guf? About this ear katana? That's question number one. We'll answer this question by asking another question. It says in the Gemara Yuma, I think it's Peivav, that Gedoyla tshuva shemagasa ad kisei hakavod. Shnemar tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem lekecha. Tshuva is so great that it reaches all the way up until the kisei hakavod. What's pshat? Dafka kisei hakavod. Why not gedoyla tshuva shemagasa ad Hashemayim? Ad Hashemayim. No. Gedoyla tshuva shemagasa ad kisei hakavod. It goes all the way up until the kisei hakavod. Why the kisei hakavod? So the choyah, the kisei hakavod is called kisei hakavod. Why? Because there's something about the Kisei HaKavod, whatever the explanation is for this, which I'm not going to explain right now. I'm not sure if I have the exact pshat, but I'm not going to explain whatever pshat I came up with. But what is the pshat? Obviously, by the fact that it's called the Kisei HaKavod, there's something about this place which reveals the Kavod of Hashem. It's called the Kisei HaKavod. So that means there's something about tshuva which is trying to reach to a certain place which should be Megala, the Kavod of Hashem. That's what that tshuva is trying to do. Tshuva trying to be magala a certain kavod of the Rabbanu Shalom. That's why tshuva magala ad kisei hakavod. It goes to a place which represents kavod, the kisei hakavod. So what's the connection between tshuva and the kisei hakavod? Clear? So let's say you have a melech. You have a melech. We'll come back to a king over here. We have a melech. And the melech has a lot of avadim. Tons and tons of avadim. All those avadim, what do each one of them do? By the fact that all those avadim are around the melech, they show they represent a certain kavod to the melech. It's a kavod to a melech that he has avadim around him. Right? That shows a kavod that he has. So, but they show a certain level of kavod. But now let me ask you, what's a greater kavod? These avadim, or let's say the melech, he has a great, great, great enemy. He's a big misnagid. He's a big, big misnagid. And what happens? This misnagid himself to the melech becomes now also part of the avodah of the melech. When that person who's against the melech, he was the enemy of the melech, and now he also becomes a part of the kingdom of the melech, that's a very, very great kavod. And that's a greater kavod that all the other avodim weren't able to do when they were samjus avodim of the melech. Tanya, when the enemy of the melech becomes a part of the abdus of the melech, that shows now an even greater kavod to the melech. And it's mamash b'feir zayir. I think Rav Nachman also talks about it in Torah Yudalid. He says, like, this is what the zayir says. If it came into asa Yisro, Yisro came. The ukumra ila the kotam and achronim. He was like the priest of all other gods. This came out a great yakras, a great covet to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Va'amar and Yisro came and he said, I know Hashem now is the greatest of all gods. Now because of that, everybody else, all of the other nations, when they saw Yisro, who was like the priest, he was like their, you know, he was like their pope, and he all of a sudden became an eved of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they realize, you know, our gods really have nothing. Our main guy just became part of the other team. From here came a huge covet to the Melech. So you see, it's Beferish and the Zayar, you see that when a person who's the opposite, that's the hebek from the team of the Melech, and he wants, and now he becomes a part of the kingdom, you see that that's Megala. An even greater covenant than the Stam Avadim could do. And this is the emes, the Pshan, the Pasuk, this is Pshan Chazal, that the Makom Shabbat Shuvah Imdim, Aim Siddiq and Gemur Yahweh Lamed Bay. What's the Pshat? The Pshat because a Baal Tshuva is a person that he was until now, he was stuck in a place which was, he was misnagi to the Melech. And now he comes and he does a Tshuva so that Siddiqim, they were always the Avadim of the Melech. So they created in Akhanami a certain covenant for the Melech, of course. Maybe at the end, if you remind me, I'll get to a very deep oimik in that. But in Echonami, they were a part of the Avazimak. They made a certain covenant to the Melech. But when the Baal Tshuva came and he did his Tshuva, and he was a person who was a misnagi to the Melech, and now he does a Tshuva, so that brings out an even greater covenant to the Melech. That's Peshav Makom Meshmal Tshuva Oimdin, the place where the Tshuva stand, Ein Tzadik and Gemurim Yachon Lambo. That's where Tzadik Gomor can't stand. Because there's a great, great covenant that now comes because through the Baal Tshuva. And this is a really big chizik for us because, you know, every single person has his midah. Every person has his midah, which is maybe the toiv, but everybody has his midah, which is unique to him, which is his struggle. And a person could feel about that midah, which is his struggle, which is his difficult midah, you know, I'm stuck. I have this midah and it weighs on you. It's heavy on you. Every day I go through the same exact struggle. Every day I get mikas again. Every day I have a taiv again. Every day I have gaiv again. Bukhula, bukhula, bukhula. Everybody could look at him and do their own introspection of themselves. What is that midah? What happens when I take that midah and I'm havet that midah? That midah is going to be the greatest covet that you could bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that midah is the greatest misnaged to the Ratzon of the Melech. So that midah is not just a midah which is your greatest struggle. That midah is your greatest opportunity. That midah is your greatest opportunity because that is the midah which is able to be turned over and say, oh, this midah is going to be able to bring out the greatest covet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klar? Any questions on that? Hi. That's the pshat now. Maybe we could say, Gedol the tshuva, shemegas ala kisi hakavod. What's the pshat? Gedol the tshuva, shemegas ala kisi hakavod. So we know the Gemara tells us there's two different types of tshuva. There's a tshuva meyira and there's a tshuva me'ava. I could also give pshat and tshuva meyira, but I'm going to focus on the tshuva me'ava. What is the difference, the Gemara explains, between a person who does tshuva out of Yira and he does tshuva out of Ava? A person who does tshuva out of Yira, so the averes that he did, they become like shkavos. They become like a shogeg. Asher ein kein, a person who does tshuva out of Ava, those averos, those adonos, they become like zechuyos. They become mamash like a schus for him. They become like a kiyu, like a mitzvah for him. So what happens when he does a tshuva out of Ava? What he does is he took the misnagid, he took the hepech, the averus, which were not on the team of the melech, and he was mahapich those ones over. And he was mahapich them. So when he does a tshuva out of ava, those averus that he did be'etzim, when he was mahapich them to become zechuyos, those now also become part of the covenant of the melech, and they become an even greater part of the covenant of the melech. Is that clear? It's a tipper point. The averus themselves, when a person goes ahead and he does the tshuva out of Ava, the Gemara says, they become like zechuyos. But those were the greatest misnagi to the Melech. Now I did a tshuva, now they become like a zechuyos. So they were like the person, they were like the Yisro, which was on the other side, and now you did a tshuva, now that brings out an even greater cover to the Melech. Those averus, when they become a mitzvah, through your Maisa Tshuva Me'ava, they even bring out a great, great, great kavod to the Melech. Is that clear?
Why is that coming out of Me'ava over Yireh? If you do Tshuva for Yireh, you can say the same story also. That you did Tshuva, these were the things that you now, it's also a great kavod.
I agree. I said you can say it also in Yireh also. It's just clear in Me'ava. Because it doesn't come mamish like a sphere, it comes like shkogos. It still becomes a certain level of kavod. I totally agree with you. But I think it's just clear in Ava.
Right.
So I'm saying the covet is clear by Ava. So the covet is clear by Ava, it becomes like a sluice. So that's mamash like Gistro doing a full fledged tshuva and mamash doing mahabing afterwards to bringing a great covet to the Melech. Because when you take the person, you take the thing. That's true also, yeah. When you're a mahapichet, that brings out a great kavod. So maybe that's the pshat of Chazal say, "Gedoyle tshuva shemagaz ala kisya kavod." What's going to happen between tshuva and the kisya kavod? The kavod of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The pshat is because when the person does tshuva and he takes his midah, he takes his averes, and he does tshuva and he's mahapichet, and he makes him now become part of the kingdom of the Melech, a part of the others of the Melech. Now that shows an even greater kavod. That brings out a great kavod to the Ribono Shel Olam. So that's pshat gedoyle tshuva shemagaz. Ada Kisya Kavod. This is the greatness of Tshuva that it reaches all the way to the Kisya Kavod. It brings out a great Kavod to the Melech. It brings out a Kavod of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Aklar? So this is the Pshat, and then we'll see if there's time and we'll go an inch deeper. This is the Pshat though, that this is the Rotten of the Neshama. We asked, why does the Neshama care so much about the Guf? Why does the neshama care so much? Why is this rotten so badly to get into the guf and make a neshama like it itself is pure and holy? The pshat is because the whole desire of the neshama is the covet of the Ribono Shel Olam. Like the pasuk says about the neshama, ura kevoidi, ura neva. Ura kevoidi, wake up my kevoidi. So I'm not talking about his neshama. That's pasuk pshat. Talking about his neshama. Ura kevoidi, ura neva. Wake up. The neshama is called covet because the neshama's desire is bringing out the covet of the Ribono Shel Olam. So when it goes into the guf, and it takes the guf and makes the guf also davar kadosh, the guf was something which was zuwat and the misnagi to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's something which is far from the Ribono Shel Olam. It's like a choshech. And when you turn that over, now you make the guf itself part of the chelik of Hashem. That's the greatest kavod you can bring to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's why the neshama wants to get the guf, and that's why it's so important for us to make our gufs to be holy and to be kadosh. We work on our gufs. When we work on our gufs become be'etzem kadosh. Klar? And they bring out a be'etzem kavod to the Ribono Shel Olam. So, I'll say a little bit of a deeper pshat. First of all, before that, I would like to make a ha'ara. But even though we say that, you know, that b'makom tshuva tshuva oindim ein tzedikim gemurim ya'achorim lamad ba, that doesn't mean that you know tzaddikim are be'emes lower. It means that there's an akuda, like we say over here, by the kavod of the Baal Tshuva, that he could show an even greater kavod. But if you would think about our mashal, you know, you have the avodim around the melech, and then you have the Baal Tshuva, who's one who's like the person who becomes the enemy of the melech, becomes a part of the kingdom now, and he brings out a great kavod. But Chazal tells us, ein melech balei am. There's no such thing as a melech without the Am who's around him. So, if there wouldn't be an Am around the Melech, so then what good would it be if that Baal Tshuva or that Misnagid does a Tshuva? There's no Melech. The Avadim which were there originally, those are the Avadim which made the Etzem Malchus. Because they're the ones who are around the Melech. Ein Melech below Am. So Ein Achanami, when a Baal Tshuva or a person who does Tshuva, he becomes a part of the team of the Melech, you know, he brings out a kavod to the Melech that the Avodim couldn't do, but that only could exist because there's the Etzem of Melech there first. Now who makes the Etzem Melech? Who makes the Etzem Malchus? That's the Avodim realm, those are the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim, they make the Etzem Malchus and now afterwards the Baal Tshuva could come and he could do a Tshuva and he could be Magal a greater kavod. But that was first set up by the malchus that the tzaddikim made. That's a side point. So, you know, we shouldn't throw the tzaddikim down. We should know the mind of the tzaddikim. Is that clear? Fine. One more point. So, we know that la'asi lavo, that all the goyim are going to have a tikkun. There's one guy, one nation, which is not going to have a tikkun. That's a malik. In the end, Achriz Adi Oibed, in the end, a malik has no existence. They're gone. Why? Why is a malik gone? What's a pshat? So the pshat is that every nation has its midah. The uniqueness of the midah of a malik is the midah of leitzanus. The midah of leitzanus. Leitzi taka pesi yarim, the pasuk says. Leitzi taka, the leitz gets hit, the pesi yarim, the pesi becomes yarim, becomes wiser. Chazal darshan this on a malik in Yisra. A malik is called the leitzi taka, and the pesi yarim is called Yisra. So first of all, why are we comparing those two dafka? Why Yisra and a malik? So there's a little bit of a tief pshat, so you're going to have to think. What does leitzanus mean? See, Kadosh Baruch Hu did all the nisim, all the nisim, Chris, Yamsuf, and then this nisim, the Mitzrayim, and all of the nations, they were bepachaner, they were completely, well, blown away by what happened. Amalek was also blown away, though. But what did they do? Let's say they jumped into the hot bath first. They didn't care. Because what is a midah of a leitz? A midah of a leitz is that you could show him all the greatness of everything in the world, but it will never affect him. He'll never change it over, because all he does, he ends up making the leitzanus even out of the emes. That's what a leitz does. That even if the emes would smack him in the face, the leitz will come and make a leitzanus out of it, and it won't let it affect his heart. So that means, even though you could show, that's why the leitzanus is such a deep midah, that's why you could show all the covet to the leitz, but he still won't be mishapich. That's a malik. A malik is the leitz that he doesn't turn over because of the leitzanus that he has. Which means that what? It means that a malik is a being that can never ever say, I'm going to be the person who's the misnagi to the melech and become part of now of the covet of the melech. Because he's the leitz. So he'll never ever be able to say, I'm going to turn over now and become a part of the kingdom. Because every single time he'll try to become over, he'll make a leitzanus out of it and he'll stay distant. Which means that he can never be a part of a real bringing out this major covet of the melech. So new la'asi lavo is going to be malakal arsis kavodo. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants la'asi lavo, there's going to be a great, great gila of his covet. It's going to be a great, great gila of his covet. And he wants to take the arts is something which seems far from Hashem. Hashem doesn't want stama covet. Hashem wants everything which looked like it was misnagi to him to become a part of his kingdom, that they should bring out a great covet for him. So a malik, though, he'll never be able to accept that. He'll never be able to accept that. Why? Because he makes a leitzanus on it. So Mamela, he's never going to be able to be a part of the kingdom, and he'll never be able to be Megala, the cover that Hashem wants, La'as Lava. That's why a Malik, Achriza Adi Oibid, so they have no chance, La'as Lava. They don't get to come into the picture, because they can never be Megala, the cover of the Melech, because they make a Leitzanus on the cover of the Melech. So they can never become part of the cover of the Melech. That's why Chazal compared the Yisro and a Malik Dafka. Those are the two we compare. Why would we compare Yisro and a Malik Dafka? Because Yisro was the exact opposite. What did Yisro do? Yisro came and he became a part of the kingdom. Yisro came to be a part of the malchus. So Yisro was the one who came, like the Zohar said, and brought a great cover to the malach. But the exact opposite of the malik will never, ever be able to bring out this great cover of the malach, because they'll be able to mehapech themselves because of the tzonos that they make on the cover of the malach. So Mishnah, we should be zaycha, that we should look at our struggles, and we should not look at our struggles as holding us back, but we should look at our struggles as being our opportunity. We should know that our struggles is our ability to bring out a great, great kavod to the melech. And that's why the neshama has a deep, deep ratzon to take the guf, and to mahapik the guf, that the guf also should now become part of the yakad, the malachas. Shri Zaycha, Mirza Shah.